Acrisius has always shown devotion to the gods of Olympus in the past. He has built many magnificent temples and dedicated them to you, great Zeus, father of the gods.
Welcome to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show, the podcast that deals with its feelings by playing all the lowest keys on the piano at the same time. I'm your host, Taylor Cole, and with me today are Sarah, Muppetational Baker.
It's not easy being green, and you're about to be green with envy when I destroy you in this game.
Veronica, Tiger Queen Yourofsky.
I'm gonna carol bask in my glorious victory.
And Nick, the Shark, Reinwald Jones.
You're gonna need a bigger brain.
A big hello to all our contestants, and thank you for joining us for today's Pop Culture Knowledge Throwdown. It's the third elimination in the Delta Tau Chi division. Here with us today is none other than Scoremaster Dan. Hi, Dan.
Hi there, Taylor. I've been taking the break between episodes to read up on my Swedenborg, so I'm going to be doing all the scoring in base 8 today. It'll be a lot of fun.
Well, that's great, Dan, but make sure to convert it back to base 10 before you give us any updates. And working the boards today is Production Master Dave. Hi, Dave.
I can't walk around this neighborhood with that Disney-ass name.
All right. We have three rounds of trivia to test your pop culture knowledge today, but we're going to start it off, as always, with a round of My Champion. Each of our contestants has chosen a character from pop culture to be their champion. The catch? We choose the battle that they're fighting. Sarah, who is your champion today?
The one and only Mr. Rogers.
And Veronica, who are you championing?
Mad Max, Fury Roads, Imperator Furiosa.
And Nick, who is your champion?
The one and only Jon Snow.
All right. Champions are locked in. For today, our players' arguments will be at the mercy of Judge Dave. Knowing all that, let's spin the scenario wheel. Today's scenario: Labor Day is almost here, so who can best handle being in labor for a day? Sarah, why would legendary nice guy Fred Rogers be the best at being in labor for a full day?
Okay, Mr. Rogers is suited for any situation. He has a calm, gentle demeanor. He has courage and faith in himself, knowing that he can do anything he puts his mind to, even being a man having a baby. And he could offer perhaps a gentle song, something like, "We were all babies, and I like you being a baby just the way you are, coming out like you're doing now. You're great."
Oh, thank you, Sarah. And Veronica, how about Mad Max Fury Road's Imperator Furiosa?
Oh, boy. Well, she's no stranger to pain. She has no limb, so she already experienced that. She's experienced at extracting things out of people's bodies when she famously took off Immortan Joe's mask. So I think she can stand the pain, because as she famously said, and I misquote, out here, there's nothing but pain.
And Nick, why would Jon Snow from A Song of Ice and Fire and or Game of Thrones best handle being in labor for a day?
Well, first, I will fully acknowledge that the vast majority of men have no conception of the pain and efforts of childbirth. But Jon Snow may be the one human being who is, having endured, let's see, climbing the wall, getting shot at by arrows from his former love, killing his commanding officer to prove his loyalty to a side that he was trying to gain the trust of, also being stabbed to death and being brought back. Since Melisandre has shown that she could work that kind of magic on him, she could probably, you know, get a baby in there. Hopefully not a demon baby, but he'd probably deal with that too.
Well, great arguments all around. But Dave, which player's champion is going to come out on top?
Now, I've judged a couple of these so far, but I think these are the most equal arguments I've heard in a while. These are all very strong arguments. Before I render my judgment, I want to give Veronica and Nick a moment to produce a song if they so wish. No, in that case, I declare Sarah Baker our winner for going the extra mile and really proving to me that Mr. Rogers could definitely survive a day of labor.
Nice work, Sarah. You have won my champion, which means you will not only go first in round one, but you also get a crack at the half point. If the game is close at the end, having the half point could mean the difference between you winning and losing. Your half point question today will also deal with difficult births. On-screen mother of the Antichrist, Mia Farrow, divorced whom during the filming of Rosemary's Baby?
I assume it must have been Frank Sinatra?
Correct. Frank Sinatra, you have earned yourself the half point. You'll also lead off in round one, but before that, let's get to know all of today's players by learning a bit more about their pop culture likes, dislikes, dreams, and hot takes. First, we have Veronica Yurovsky. Hi, Veronica.
Hello.
Veronica, what's your biggest hot take or most unpopular opinion in the world of pop culture?
Oh, boy. Well, you know how the Beatles and the Sopranos are universally considered amazing? I universally consider them okay. I don't devalue their contribution to music or TV, but they have not made me feel the same feels that I feel from listening or watching things that followed them, such as Mad Men or The Wire, or listening to something like Led Zeppelin or Radiohead.
Thank you, Veronica, and best of luck in today's game.
Thank you.
Also joining us today is Sarah Baker, our half point winner. Welcome, Sarah.
Thank you.
Sarah, what otherwise unplanned or unproduced sequel would you most like to see come to fruition?
I think I would like to see Spy 2, this time spyier, working title. Melissa McCarthy, hilarious, but she was also, she's great at physical stuff, so she was great at being the cool spy, but still being really funny. Miranda Hart was in the first one, but she was not featured that much. So I'm thinking maybe she turns on the agency and becomes like a super spy. I think that would be hilarious and magical.
Well, that is an inspired answer. Thank you, Sarah. And in the third player spot today is Nick Reinwald Jones. Welcome, Nick.
Thank you so much.
Nick, what is your desert island video game?
Well, if I were trapped on a desert island, I might want something to cheer me up, and this game would not, but it is so engaging and just compelling that it would probably pass the time pretty well. And I've already replayed it a couple times. I am referring to The Last of Us, the survivalist post-apocalyptic zombie fighting game, which is just the right amount scary for me to handle and incredibly compelling from a character perspective. It's like living inside a movie.
Awesome. Well, that's at the top of my list, so I look forward to being able to co-sign that recommendation with you. Well, welcome again to everyone, and good luck to you all. It's time for round one. The mirror has three faces. Sometimes some characters are so universal, timeless, and iconic that the world can't help but keep putting them on screen. And sometimes Hollywood just runs out of ideas and keeps recycling the same old stuff. Regardless of the reasoning, this game will test your knowledge of classic characters by giving you three actors who have played the part. All you have to do is name the character. For example, if I read you the names Sean Connery, Pierce Brosnan, and Daniel Craig, you would know that the character played by all three of them was...
James Bond.
James Bond, indeed. If you'd like a hint, we'll give you a few more details about one of the performances to help you hone in on your guess. 10 points for answering correctly right away, but only 5 points after a hint if you use it. Sarah, as the winner of my champion, you get to lead off this round.
Why do I get punished for winning the half point?
Your first trio of actors is Eric Bana, Bill Bixby, and Edward Norton.
The Incredible Hulk?
Yes, both in film and TV, they've played The Incredible Hulk. Nice job. Veronica, your first trio is Jonathan Rhys-Meyers, Christopher Lee, and Gary Oldman.
Oh, wow. Jonathan Rhys-Meyers. Oh, is it Dracula?
It is indeed Rhys-Meyers on the 2013 NBC series. Christopher Lee 10 times playing Dracula in movies, and Gary Oldman in Francis Ford Coppola's Dracula movie. Very nice. Nick, Your first trio is Brian Cox, Anthony Hopkins, and Mads Mikkelsen.
Oh, that would be Hannibal Lecter.
Yes, indeed, in Manhunter, Silence of the Lambs, and the NBC series Hannibal. Mm-hmm. Coming back to Sarah, your next three actors are Alan Ladd, Leonardo DiCaprio, and Robert Redford.
Okay. Well, Leonardo DiCaprio, in terms of iconic characters, has played, I would say, Romeo and, like, maybe Howard Hughes? Alan Ladd, and who is the other one?
Robert Redford.
Oh, yeah, that guy. Robert Redford. I'm going to be safe and take the hint, please.
Your hint is DiCaprio played the role in a 2013 Baz Luhrmann film.
Oh.
Baz Luhrmann fan?
I do like Baz Luhrmann. So that would be Jay Gatsby?
Very nice. That's how you use the hint. Jay Gatsby, Alan Ladd in 1949, Redford in 74, and DiCaprio in 2013. Coming back to Veronica, you've got Anthony Hopkins, Frank Langella, and John Cusack.
Oh. I think the first two played Nixon, and I am very amused by the fact that John Cusack might have played Nixon, so I'm going to guess Nixon.
Absolutely. John Cusack played Nixon in the 2013 movie Lee Daniels the Butler.
Oh, full title.
Where Forrest Whitaker plays a guy who was a butler for like six different presidents, John Cusack plays Richard Nixon.
Perfect casting.
Absolutely. Not as weird as Alan Rickman playing Ronald Reagan. That is truly off the wall.
Amazing.
Next up is for Nick. You've got Morgan Freeman, George Burns, and Alanis Morissette.
I think it's God.
Absolutely. Nice job. George Burns playing him in the movie Oh God and the sequel Oh God Book 2, and then plays God and the Devil in Oh God, You Devil in a wonderful dual performance. Coming back to Sarah, you've got Anthony Perkins, Vince Vaughn, and Freddie Highmore.
Oh, crap. Okay, so that's the psycho dude. Norman Bates.
There you go. That's how you talk it out. Coming back to Veronica, you've got Christopher Plummer, Robert Downey Jr., and Benedict Cumberbatch.
Oh, I think that would have to be Sherlock Holmes. I'll say Sherlock Holmes.
Absolutely. Plummer played the role in a 1979 movie called Murder by Decree, in which Sherlock Holmes goes after Jack the Ripper. Nick, your next trio is Ingrid Bergman, Mila Jovovich, and Lily Sobieski.
Okay, I'm not entirely sure about the Ingrid Bergman one, but I believe the other two played Joan of Arc.
Absolutely. The other two also played Joan of Arc the same year, 1999.
Wow.
The year of Arc.
Well, all our players have been doing great so far, but let's see just how great with our first update from Scoremaster Dan.
Before getting the score break, I do want to note that even though Bill Bixby never actually played the Incredible Hulk, you know, we believe that the Incredible Hulk and Bruce Banner or Bruce David Banner or Bruce David whatever Banner are in fact the same person. So we would have accepted Bruce Banner or the Incredible Hulk as the correct answer there. Yeah, this game could not be closer right now. Sarah has 25 points and the half point. Veronica and Nick are both tied at 30. They're both perfect so far in this game.
All right, getting back into it with Sarah. We've got Willem Dafoe, Jim Caviezel, and Ewan McGregor.
Guys, I am shocked that I know as many of these questions as I do, because it's literally amazing. So I know for sure Jim Caviezel, I think in real life, is super Jesus-y too. And Willem Dafoe, I definitely saw that. And I don't remember who the third one was, but I think it's Jesus, possibly H. Christ.
Very nice. Ewan McGregor was the third person you couldn't remember, and he played the role in the 2016 movie Last Days in the Desert, where he plays both Jesus and the devil, taking a cue from George Burns, I suppose.
Very similar performances, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Over to Veronica, you've got Jonathan Rhys-Meyers, Damian Lewis, and Rowan Atkinson.
So my hunch on the first Jonathan Rhys-Meyers thing was Henry VIII, but it turned out to not be that. But I assume this one is that, so I'm going to say Henry VIII.
Yes, the double dose of Rhys-Meyers for Veronica today. She's got it. Damian Lewis played the role in Wolf Hall, and Rowan Atkinson played the role on the British children's series Horrible Histories. Coming over to Nick, your next trio is Liam Neeson, Laurence Olivier, and Luke Evans.
Okay. Luke Evans, not the lesser famous brother of Chris Evans, even though that should work. Let's see. So, Liam Neeson, Laurence Olivier, and the other guy. Gosh. Mm-hmm. I can't think of an iconic role that Liam Neeson is associated with. I'm going to take the hint.
Neeson played the role in two epically terrible, God's awful action films in 2010 and 2012.
Wow. Okay. He sure was in a lot of God's awful action films. So not sure that narrows it down a great deal. Wow. An action film, and then Laurence Olivier. I really don't know.
Great Zeus, father of the gods.
Oh.
Zeus. Neeson playing him in Clash and Wrath of the Titans, Laurence Olivier playing in the 80s Clash of the Titans, and Luke Evans playing the role in the 2011 movie Immortals, starring Henry Cavill as Theseus. We all remember Immortals, right?
I didn't realize the hint you were giving me with gods. I thought you were just being like, you know, kind to Wiccans or something.
Oh, no. Or wasn't trying to nod towards Battlestar Galactica either. All right, Sarah, here's your next trio. You've got Margot Kidder, Kate Bosworth, and Amy Adams.
Okay. Margot Kidder was in Superman. And who is the middle one? Kate Bosworth?
Yes.
Seems like a weird choice, but maybe she was like, I can be brunette too. I think it had to have been Lois Lane.
Yes.
And it was a weird choice.
It was a weird choice. For Superman Returns, the 2006 movie with Brandon Routh, and Amy Adams is playing her now in the recent run of DC movies. Veronica, your next trio is Robin Williams, Kathy Rigby, and Allison Williams.
Oh, I was like, how many Mrs. Doubtfire adaptations were there? I think this would have to be Peter Pan.
Yes, with Kathy Rigby playing the role intermittently on stage for over 40 years. What a run. Wow. And closing out with Nick, your final trio is Sissy Spacek, Angela Bettis, and Chloe Grace Moretz.
Wow, okay. Sissy Spacek, Angela Bettis, Chloe Grace Moretz. Sissy Spacek, you know, probably 70s, 80s. Angela Bettis was big in 90s and early aughts. Chloe Grace Moretz now. I'm still going to need the hint.
Spacek played the role in a 1976 Brian De Palma movie.
Oh, okay. It's Carrie.
Yes, with Angela Bettis in 2000 and Chloe Grace Moretz in the Kimberly Pierce-directed remake. Well, that'll wrap it up with a strong round one for all of our players. Up next is a score break from Dan, and then on to round two of Pop Culture Trivia.
It's time for the Nature Valley Crunchy Granola Bar score break. Nature Valley Crunchy Granola Bars, an explosion of crumbs just before your next meeting. So far, Veronica has been perfect. She has 50 points. Sarah is just behind with 45 points and the half point. And Nick is also pretty close. He's got 40 points, and he'll be going first in round two.
Thank you, Scoremaster Dan. Still lots of game to go, and we have a little extra help coming to our third place contestant. It's the Threequalizer. Nick, we've got a quick chance for you to make up some ground with our Threequalizer question. I'll give you a question that has exactly three answers, and you'll have three guesses to match as many of those answers as possible, with 10 points to you for each answer you match. Your Threequalizer question is, the 2000s saw many non-Disney animated features find success at the box office. While Disney was still tops with Finding Nemo, movies from these three franchises from other studios cracked the top 10. What are those three animated non-Disney franchises to crack the top 10 at the U.S. box office 2000 to 2009?
Okay, I'm just going to shoot from the hip here. I'm going to say Shrek, Ice Age, and How to Train Your Dragon.
Ah, two out of three, still 20 points. The first How to Train Your Dragon did not come out until 2010, so ineligible for that decade. But the other one was the first Kung Fu Panda made it into the top 10. Kung Fu Panda. But keeping that Disney math and counting rolling, we'll move on not to Disney Plus, but to our round two game entitled Disney Minus. Almost all animated Disney movies are based on older stories, but they often have to take out some elements that might not work in a kid's movie. In this game, I'll ask you about plot points that were left out of a Disney adaptation. You name the movie. For instance, if I told you that the Disney version left out the part where the wicked stepsisters cut off parts of their feet, you'd know I was talking about
Cinderella.
If you'd like a hint, I will tell you the name of a supporting character in the movie that you're guessing. And then finally, I'll give you three choices of characters, and you will choose which one of them Disney added to the movie. 20 points if you name the movie right off the bat, 10 points after the hint, and 10 more points for the added character follow-up. Nick, you'll go first in round two, and here is your first Disney-fied adaptation. In the book, the title character gets shot, but his dad teaches him what he's supposed to do afterwards, so it ends up okay.
The title character, okay, so it is a Disney movie with a male title character. He gets shot. I do have a guess, but I think I want the hint to be safe.
Your hint is this movie features a character named Flower.
Bambi.
Bambi, indeed.
Bambi's a boy?
Yeah, I didn't remember that either. That threw me.
Wow.
And your three character choices are Phalene the Doe, the Great Prince of the Forest, and Thumper the Rabbit. Which one was added by Disney for the movie?
I'm going to say Thumper the Rabbit.
10 points for the extra follow-up. Coming over to Veronica. In the original version, the title character can't talk because her tongue has been cut out.
Oh, God. I assume it's one of the princess movies, but I'm not entirely sure which one, so I will ask for a hint.
Your supporting character is King Triton.
Oh, Little Mermaid.
Indeed, The Little Mermaid. And who did Disney add to The Little Mermaid? Was it Ariel's grandmother, the evil eels, or the sea witch?
The eels?
Yes, Flotsam and Jetsam, the eels. Very nice. Sarah, your first Disney-fied adaptation? In the book, the queen uses a croquet mallet to kill a whole bunch of people. Not so much in the movie.
The queen. Croquet. Sounds like... I have not read this book, shamefully, but I think it has to be Alice in Wonderland.
There's Queen and Croquet. It's got to be Alice in Wonderland. But who did Disney add to that? Did they add the Cheshire Cat, the Mad Hatter, or the Talking Doorknob?
Oh. Well, I'm going to go animal because... But does the Cheshire Cat say anything? I figured it would... be based on our current pattern, the cute or scary animal. I'm going to say the Cheshire Cat. Rats.
Nope, the Cheshire Cat and the Mad Hatter feature in Lewis Carroll's original two Alice novels. Disney added the talking doorknob. Originally, the drink me bottle was the one talking in the book. Disney changed it for whatever reason.
The doorknob lobby.
So, or the Cheshire Cat inspired one of my favorite lines from the book, which is, I've seen a cat without a smile before, but never a smile without a cat.
Aw. I love that. All right, Nick, this next one's for you. In the movie, there is definitely no implication that the main character had some youthful, let's say, experimentations with apes.
Tarzan.
Yes, Tarzan indeed. But who did Disney add for Tarzan? Did they add Turkina, Tarzan's best friend and cousin, Tarzan's adopted mother, Kala, or William Clayton, the hunter?
Well, the colonialist hunter sounds on point for being already in there. I haven't seen the movies, and I don't know the character that well. I'm just going to guess Turkina.
Yes, Turkina, shortened to Turk and voiced by Rosie O'Donnell in the movie.
She was having a moment.
The 90s were, yeah, she was in the pocket. All right, Veronica. In the book, the enemies born from the title item are terrifying skeletal warriors. In the movie, not so much.
Oh, wow. I don't think I know this, so I'll have to ask for a hint.
Your supporting character is Princess Ilonwi.
Whoa.
Anything sounding familiar in there?
Let's see. Maybe Moana? No. Oh, sad.
The movie there is the 80s Disney movie, The Black Cauldron. The Black Cauldron.
Oof, deep cut.
Yeah.
Yes.
You still get to guess at the character Disney added, though. Did they add Creeper the Goblin, Gurgi the Wood Troll, or Henwen the Fortune-Telling Pig?
Oh, my God. To me, all of these are as likely. How about the Fortune-Telling Pig?
No, actually, the Fortune-Telling Pig is a pretty key character in Lloyd Alexander's original books, but Disney did add Creeper the Goblin. Creeper the Goblin.
As established, a big fan of the franchise, so very pumped I did not get this.
Everyone listening is going, how could she get that wrong?
All those cauldron heads out there are really disappointed.
Our next one's for Sarah. In the Disney version, the main character isn't made insane by his deadbeat dad's wife and doesn't kill his entire family.
Whoa.
Some dark stuff out there.
Wait, can you say that again?
Sure. In the Disney version, the main character isn't made insane by his deadbeat dad's wife and doesn't kill his entire family.
What? I mean, I can only... The only other boy movie... I mean, though, hey, Bambi's a boy, so revelations are happening all over the place.
You can ask for a hint.
Yeah, the only other boy I can think of is Hercules, so I'm going to ask for a hint.
Your hint is Hades.
Oh. So maybe it is Hercules? Hercules is what I'm saying. Yay!
Hercules is correct with the hint. But who did Disney add to the movie Hercules? Is it Hercules' love interest Megara, Hercules' brother Iphicles, or Demetrius the Potter?
This feels like a historical type question I should know. Let's say Megara. Rats.
Oh, that was my guess too.
Mine too.
Oh, Megara does appear as a, you know, much smaller scale character in relation to Hercules, but in the original Greek myths, Disney created, however, Demetrius the Potter, Hercules' first boss when he's a human, voiced by Wayne Knight, Newman himself.
It sounds, okay. I mean, when has a Potter never been an interesting character?
Let's get someone real compelling in there. Yeah.
All right, Nick. In the movie, the title character doesn't murder the villain. Instead, the bad guy gets tossed off a tower into a pool of molten lead.
Well, I don't remember the molten lead part, but I am just going to take a stab that it's Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, not quite there. We're actually looking at the death of Frollo in The Hunchback of Notre Dame.
That was my guess for the murdering the entire family one. So.
Well, falling is the best Disney death because you know they're dead, but you don't have to see them die. It makes it a little more okay for children. But who did Disney add to The Hunchback of Notre Dame? Is it Laverne, Jolly the Dancing Goat, or Clopin, the King of the Feast of Fools?
Well, again, not having read the book or seen the movie, I am going to guess the... Yeah, let's go with Laverne.
Correct. Yes. Laverne the Talking Gargoyle. Absolutely. Coming over to Veronica. Aside from making the whole cast animals, the 19th century original book didn't have anyone get electrocuted on the third rail of the subway.
Oh, interesting. I think I'll need a hint, please.
Your hint is a supporting character in this movie is Dodger the Dog.
Dodger the Dog, New York City subway. I guess I would go with Oliver and Company?
Oh, yeah. Nice. Billy Joel voicing the Artful Dodger analog, Dodger the Dog. But who did Disney add? Did they add Fagin, Sykes, or Francis?
Fagin and Sykes sound like characters from a different movie. Though, I guess Dodger, like, all Dickensian. I'll go with Francis.
Correct. Ooh, baby. Fagin and Sykes are characters in the original Dickens novel. Francis is not. Coming back to Sarah, in the book, the villainess has apparently kidnapped and killed a whole series of children before an international organization steps in to stop her.
Okay. So clearly she has also kidnapped children in this one. I think I'll take the hint, please.
Your supporting character is Madame Medusa, the pawn shop owner.
Oh. Pawn shop owner. Wait, what villainous kidnapped children?
Need an answer.
I'm going to say the borrowers.
Oh, not quite. The international organization here is the rescuers. The rescuers.
Oh, that was so close.
You were.
I had the right, which is usually the most pivotal part of any answer.
And the ers, yeah.
And then who did Disney add to the movie The Rescuers from the original book series? Is it the Grand Duchess, Niels the Norwegian Mouse, or Orville the Albatross?
I'm going to say Niels.
No, Niels the Mouse is in the books, but does not appear in the movie The Rescuers. The answer we're looking for is Orville the Albatross, as inspired by a Bob Newhart routine about the Wright brothers. Bob Newhart, of course, voicing Max the Mouse in The Rescuers. Well, with all that information, it sounds like a good time to reset our brains with a score break from Scoremaster Dan.
Most of the way through round two, Sarah has 75.5 points, Veronica has 90, and Nick is in the lead with 120 points.
Whoa. Yay.
Really turn it around in round two. Let's see if you can keep that momentum going, Nick, with your next description. The movie definitely doesn't end with the successful killing of one of the title characters, leading to a loss of meaning for the lead human role, nor does it cover his descent into alcoholism.
Wow, okay. I'm just going to go ahead and guess the Beauty and the Beast again, because maybe we'll eventually be right.
Well, oh. Not quite.
Not yet. Maybe next time.
That one is the very dark ending to the original book, The Fox and the Hound.
Oh, yep. I wasn't allowed to see that when I was a kid because it was deemed too dark. Fun fact about my family. That one, as an 8-year-old or whatever, that was considered, too adult themed for me. So.
Oh, well, you still have a 1-in-3 shot on the follow up. Did Disney add Boomer the Woodpecker, Chief the Older Hunting Dog, or Vixie the Older Fox?
Let's go with Boomer the Woodpecker.
Very nice. Going with the it's debatable whether it's the cutest animal, but I would say so. I like woodpeckers. Moving on, Veronica, your next Disney adaptation is the Disney version is less of a refutation of Rousseau's theory of education by experience than the book is, and it doesn't feature the title character's feet getting burnt off.
Oh, wow. I mean, I'm a big philosophical scholar, but I don't think I know the reference, so I will ask for a hint.
Sure. A side character in this Disney movie is Cleo the Fish.
Whoa, Cleo the Fish, where were you? I have no idea. I'm gonna go with Pinocchio. Whoa!
What a guess. But who did Disney add to Pinocchio? Did they add the Blue Fairy, Jiminy Cricket, or Stromboli?
Wow. I seem to remember my mom reading me the book. I would guess Jiminy Cricket was not in it. Damn it.
Nope, there is a cricket that Pinocchio kills with a hammer and then it shows up as a ghost later. But the whole cloth creation was Stromboli at Pleasure Island. Sarah, your next one. The political messages behind the animal translations are left out of the movie entirely in favor of science lessons, as is anything to do with the questing beast or the Holy Grail.
I'm just going to take a guess because I'm a little behind and say Dr. Doolittle.
Looks like Nick knows this one.
I think I might. Is it the Sword in the Stone?
Yes, questing for the Holy Grail would lead us to the Sword in the Stone. Sarah, you can still guess at who Disney added to Sword in the Stone. Is it Archimedes the Owl, Madam Mim the Sorceress, or Sir Kay, Arthur's adopted brother?
Madam Mim the Sorceress. No, that was too quick of a buzzer. That was a rude buzzer. Very rude buzzer.
Nope, she does appear in the T.H. White, the Once and Future King, but Disney keeps their trend of creating cute animals with Archimedes the Owl. Merlin's little sidekick.
I was going for the trick answer.
Yeah, I know,
I
feel you on that.
Myself.
It's triple reverse psychology on our part. All right, Nick. In the book, the obsessive anthropomorphic amphibian really did steal the car he's sentenced to jail for having taken.
The anthropomorphic amphibian really did steal the car. Wow. Okay. We got some kind of a fish stealing a car. I believe I need a hint there.
Your supporting character is Angus McBadger.
Okay. Is it The Wind in the Willows?
Yes, The Wind in the Willows. Mr. Toad goes to jail. Would have also accepted The Adventures of Ichabod and Mr. Toad, which The Wind in the Willows was packaged as part of. But who did Disney create for The Wind in the Willows? Did they create Cyril Proudbottom the horse, Moley the mole, or Ratty the rat?
Really, first draft choices for some of those characters. But I'm going to guess Cyril.
Yes, yeah. Disney thought of real names. Kenneth Graham was just like, Moley, he's the mole. Ratty, he's the rat. Done and done. All right, Veronica, your final Disney description. In the original story, the main character is Chinese and winds up murdering both the evil wizard and his brother.
Whoa. Dark. I will need a hint, please.
Your supporting character is Iago the Parrot.
Really? Oh my god, Aladdin. I did not know this.
Me neither.
Yes. Wasn't even actually in the original 1001 Nights. Was later added in a French edition, so it's like, you know, third generation Arabian at that point. Wow. You still can guess about the added character. Did Disney add Aladdin's mother, the magic carpet, or the princess?
Oh, okay. Well, the mother is not in the movie, so they did not add her. Princess carpet, princess carpet, princess carpet. I will go with carpet.
Princess carpet, woman, man, camera.
Exactly. It was a very hard test and I passed.
All right, Sarah. In updating the setting to the 20th century, the Disney version actually takes out a number of the more magical elements of the book, like the princess's magic bracelet, her magical aunt, and even the fact that she's a princess. Anything familiar in there?
You said princess. I'm gonna say Anastasia.
Ooh, not quite. We're looking for The Princess and the Frog, where they moved.
That's what I was gonna say. What a dingbat. Yeah, I deserve
that. Set in 20th century New Orleans. And who did Disney create also for that movie? Did they create Dr. Facilier, the witch doctor, Grassina, the green witch, or Vonnebe, the aspiring witch?
I'm going to say Vonnebe, the aspiring witch.
No, yeah. Vonnebe's in the book, but not the movie. But Disney does create Dr. Facilier, the witch doctor, voiced by Keith David in a really fun performance. Well, that'll wrap up round two for us. Up next will be one more break from Scoremaster Dan, and then on to the final round of Pop Culture Trivia.
It's time for the Fighting Neighbors score break. Shh, the neighbors are fighting. Right now, Nick is in the lead with 150 points. Veronica is pretty close behind with 120, and Sarah had a rough round too. She's now in third place with 75.5 points, and that means she'll need to get 8 correct in order to pull ahead.
Thanks for that update, Dan. Those standings, however, are not yet set in stone, because it's time for everyone's last opportunity for big points in the Lightning Round. Players will have their choice of categories and are given 90 seconds to answer as many questions in that category as possible. You'll earn 10 points for each correct answer you provide. Today's categories are the Gemini program, the voice of God, Merchant Ivory, and Apocalypse Later. While the names of those topics are a little bit mysterious, do your best to choose something that you'll do well on, or perhaps try to keep something easy from a fellow player. Sarah, in third place, you get to choose first. Which of the four categories would you like? Once again, they are the Gemini program, the voice of God, Merchant Ivory, and Apocalypse Later.
I'm going to say the voice of God.
Well, whether he's providing narration or actually playing God, the voice of God can only belong to Morgan Freeman. So this round is full of questions about the life and career of actor Morgan Freeman. 90 seconds on the clock. Timer begins when I finish reading the first question. Sarah, are you ready?
Yes.
He teaches James McAvoy to curve bullets in this actioner.
Pass.
He reprised his onstage role of Hoke Colburn for the film version of this off-Broadway play.
Driving Miss Daisy.
He gives voice to Frederick Douglass in this documentarian's Civil War series.
Ken Burns.
His Dark Knight character Lucius Fox steps in for Bruce as the CEO of this fictional corporation.
Oh God, so many people are going to hate me. Pass.
When he's in a Nutcracker movie, there must be this many realms.
Four.
He provides the English narration for this 2005 Oscar-winning nature documentary.
March of the Penguins.
In Invictus, he plays this South African leader.
Mandela.
In The Spy Who Dumped Me, this actress plays a character named Morgan Freeman.
Pass.
He plays God in both Bruce Almighty and this, its sequel.
I don't know. Pass.
He and Jack Nicholson have to complete this before they die.
The Bucket List.
He has twice played this former FBI agent created by author James Patterson.
Pass.
In Million Dollar Baby, he punches out this future MCU actor.
Pass.
Ooh, we're looking for Anthony Mackie at the end there in Million Dollar Baby. Still, Dan, let's get the Sarah report.
So Sarah had several passes there. Morgan Freeman was teaching James McAvoy to curve bullets in Wanted, literally the only thing anyone remembers about that movie, the curving bullets. He took over as CEO of Wayne Enterprises in the Dark Knight movies.
Really feel I should have known that.
Kate McKinnon plays a character named Morgan Freeman in The Spy Who Dumped Me. The sequel to Bruce Almighty, where Steve Carell has to build an ark for some reason, is Evan Almighty. He played Alex Cross in two movies. Alex Cross, of course, the character created by James Patterson. Sarah did get 5 correct answers, though. That gives her a total of 125 points and the half point. But unfortunately, that is not enough to put her into first. It means Veronica's up next. She's going to have to get 4 questions correct in her round if she wants to take the lead.
Thank you, Dan. All right, Veronica, your remaining category choices are the Gemini program, Merchant Ivory, and Apocalypse Later.
Oh, boy. I'm afraid Apocalypse Later would be science fiction. So could be the Gemini thing. And Merchant Ivory could be about elephant hunters. I really don't know. I'll go with the Gemini program.
While the Gemini program was a series of NASA missions, we're actually talking about the twin zodiac sign Gemini. So you'll be answering questions about twins in pop culture.
Oh, boy.
90 seconds on the clock. Veronica, are you ready?
Yes.
Danny DeVito plays his unlikely brother in Twins.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Twins Tia and Tamara Mowry have a smart younger brother with this first name.
Oh, boy. Pass.
Tweedledee and Tweedledum appear in this Lewis Carroll novel.
Alice in Wonderland.
Through the Looking Glass.
Oh.
The Katyanagi twins are Evil X's 5 and 6 in this graphic novel series.
Scott Pilgrim.
She plays both Susan and Sharon in the 1961 The Parent Trap.
Forget her name, pass.
The sisters in this horror classic are played by twins, despite dialogue stating their ages as 8 and 10.
The Shining.
This actress utilized her twin sister for a mirror scene in Terminator 2.
Linda Hamilton?
Patty and Selma are Bart Simpson's twin aunts, but these twin girls are his classmates.
Shelley and... pass.
Sherry and Terry. Commercials for this beer proclaimed love for football on TV, burritos at 4 a.m., and twins.
Budweiser.
Coors Light. In the Marvel Universe, she is Quicksilver's twin sister.
Red Witch?
Scarlet Witch. Oh, this Buffy star brought in his twin brother for an episode
Nicholas
in which
Brandon.
Xander is split in two.
Nicholas Brandon, sorry.
Ooh, right there at the buzzer. Please wait till the question is over. I know we were getting near the end.
Sorry, I got too excited.
I would have done the same thing.
She's got to get those seconds in,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Dan, give us the Veronica report.
Well, Veronica only had two skips. Tia Tamara Mowry's younger brother, who starred in the TV show Smart Guy, is Taj Mowry, and it was Haley Mills who played the twins in the 1961 version of The Parent Trap. Veronica got 5 questions correct. That gives her a total of 170 points, and so she is now in the lead. That means Nick is going to have to get 3 questions correct in his round if he wants to hold on to his lead and take the game.
All right, Nick, your 2 remaining choices are Merchant Ivory and Apocalypse Later.
All right, well, I do feel like Merchant Ivory is probably not going to be related to Merchant Ivory movies, but on the, 1% chance that it is, that terrifies me, so I think I'm going to go with Apocalypse Later.
Well, while the events of 2020 have sometimes felt like the harbinger of some sort of apocalypse, the Mayan calendar ostensibly predicted that the world would end in the year 2012. So because the world didn't end then, you now get to answer questions about the pop culture happenings of the year 2012. 90 seconds on the clock. Nick, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Disney re-releases this animated Best Picture nominee in 3D.
Beauty and the Beast.
This Degrassi actor and rapper graduates from high school at age 25.
Drake.
Danny DeVito voices the title character in this eco-conscious Dr. Seuss adaptation.
The Lorax.
This first in a series of erotic novels is 2012's best-selling book.
50 Shades of Grey.
The CW begins a set of connected superhero shows with the premiere of this series.
Arrow.
Joss Whedon and Drew Goddard write this twisty horror mashup.
Cabin in the Woods.
The Farrelly brothers direct a new film version of this classic comedy trio.
Three Stooges.
This former athlete is announced as Kelly Ripa's new co-host.
Ooh, pass.
James Vanderbeek plays himself in this ABC sitcom that's canceled after 2 years.
Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23.
He stars as the titular John Carter, the warlord of Mars, in this sci-fi flop.
Taylor Kitsch.
This tiger-inclusive fable will go on to win Best Director for Ang Lee.
Life of Pi.
This Southern Food Network personality reveals that she has type 2 diabetes.
And racism. Paula Deen.
Lilyhammer makes its premiere as this platform's first exclusive series.
Netflix.
Utah County, Utah drops bigamy charges against the stars of this reality show. Ooh, looking for sister wives there at the buzzer.
Sure.
Dan, give us the Nick report.
Nick had an excellent round. The only thing he skipped was when Michael Strahan was announced as Kelly Ripa's new co-host in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Still, Nick got 12 correct answers, and that means our final standings are Sarah with 125 points and the half point, Veronica with 170, and with a total of 270 points after getting 12 correct in the lightning round, our winner today is Nick!
Hey!
Congratulations!
Yay.
Gosh.
A big final round for Nick indeed. But sad to say, that does mean that Veronica's time on the show has come to an end after a well-fought contest. As a parting gift, though, we wish we could give you a subscription to Disney Plus in honor of our Disney game today. So if it were in our budget, which series are you binging first? The Mandalorian or High School Musical, the musical of the series?
Oh, you know it's High School Musical.
Thanks again, Veronica. And we also had an amazing time with Sarah today. I had a ton of fun, and I hope you did too. But before you go, in light of your Morgan Freeman questions, which female star would you most like to see alongside Morgan Freeman in a goofy comedy? Awkwafina or Maya Rudolph?
Wow, they're both excellent.
That's a Sophie's Choice if ever was
one. It's really true. Have to go with my girl, Maya Rudolph.
Excellent choice. Thanks again, Sarah. But the biggest congratulations today go to Nick. You'll be moving on to the Delta Tau Chi Division Finals. But before you go, tell us how you're going to prepare for your next appearance. What are you going to be watching, reading, or listening to so that you're ready for the next level of competition?
Well, I guessed Beauty and the Beast a lot before I got it right, so I'm just going to keep watching it until I just sort of beam it into everyone's heads to be the answer to every single question.
No better way to get ready. And listeners, be sure to follow Nick as The Shark as he continues on through the season bracket.
We'll be cheering you on, Nick.
Thank you.
Cool. Well, that'll wrap it up for this week. Be sure to join us next week for our final mashup before the playoffs as we finish out the eliminations in the Oceanic Airlines Division. I've been your host, Taylor Cole, and on behalf of Scoremaster Dan and Production Master Dave, thank you for listening to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show.
It's time for the at-home riddle. You correctly answer this pop culture riddle before the next episode hits, and you will win $1 million. Asterisk. All right, here is the riddle from Dan.
Always afraid and sometimes groovy, he's been the star of many a movie. At a low point, he'd hate to hear it. He faced a baker's dozen spirits.
Any thoughts towards the solution to that mystery? Submit your answer for the page on this episode at our website, usaquizshow.com. While you're there, fill out an application if you want to play on the show in a future season, and check out extra show notes, season brackets, and all your favorite subscription links for all your favorite podcast apps.
And of course, you can always reach us on Instagram or Twitter. On both services, we are at USA Quiz Show.
Asterisk, not $1 million, just Scorebreak naming rights. The Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show is created with love by Dan Cassino, indifference by Taylor Cole, and outright animosity by David T. Cole.
Don't forget to subscribe, and we'll see you on the next episode.
Just the way you are, coming out like you're doing now. You're great.